been edifying. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the word of God from verses 23 through 29. I tested all this with wisdom, and I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. What has been is remote and exceedingly mysterious. Who can discover it? As I directed my mind to know, to investigate, and to seek wisdom, and an explanation, and to know the evil of folly and the foolishness of madness, and I discovered more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. One who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured by her. Behold, I have discovered this, says the preacher, adding one thing to another to find an explanation, which I am still seeking but have not found. I have found one man among 1,000, but I have not found a woman among all these. Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought many devices. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we pray that you would help us to understand what Solomon has learned. Teach us, O Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Please be seated. You've noticed the title, The Confessions of Solomon. My wife is used to hearing the word Augustine follow the words, the confessions of, but it seems to me that that fits. And let me explain the title a bit. I've made the point before in Ecclesiastes that Solomon is drawing lessons from his own life and his own sins that led him into multiple affairs, multiple marriages, and multiple idols. In the first half of the book, he tells us how he sought to find wisdom and become wise, even though God had given him wisdom. In other words, God's wisdom was not enough. He wanted more wisdom than that. He thought, in fact, as Adam and Eve did in Genesis 3:1-5, be like God. Remember, they were told they may not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Along comes the devil through the serpent and says, you can be like God. Just eat from the fruit of the tree. And Eve essentially said, but God told us not to eat it or even touch it. He said, you're not going to die if you touch it. Go ahead. God knows that the day you eat of it, you'll be just like him. Forgetting to remind them that they were made in God's image. And then Solomon told us in chapter 2 that he wanted to seek of wealth, of wisdom, and knowledge, thus falling into the trap of Genesis 3, seeking to be wise as God was wise. That's why he says in verse 23, I tested all this with wisdom, all the things he had discovered that had bothered him, and he said, I'll be wise, but it was far from me. Seeking wisdom on your own does not produce the fruit that you think it will. And now in verse 26 of our chapter, he describes a perverse woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains by which a sinner is captured. I want you to understand that verse by turning with me to Proverbs 7:6-23. Yes, that's a long passage, but I want you to understand what Solomon is talking about, because he's describing a perverse woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains by which a sinner is captured. This is the original of that thought here in Proverbs 6, when Solomon was still a wise and godly king and was giving instructions to his children. Proverbs chapter 6. Chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner. He takes the way to her house, in the twilight and the evening, in the middle of the night and in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot, and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. So she seizes him, the young man, you see. She seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. I've done my religious bit, you see. Therefore I've come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I've sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. I wish the word love there were in quotation marks. It ain't love she's talking about. Let us delight ourselves with caresses, for my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he'll come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. You find that woman attractive? I hope not. I hope not. The young man should not have. And you see, that's the woman that Solomon is describing, and that's the one he's referring to in our text in verse 26, where he says, I discover more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. That's the woman he's describing in Proverbs chapter 7. What Solomon is saying here in Ecclesiastes is that he fell into that woman's chains. He's talking about himself. And I put it to you that the description in our text also perfectly fits Eve in the garden. Eve fell first to the devil's temptation, but then she ensnared Adam. She gave him the fruit, and he ate from it also. And the whole human race fell with both Adam and Eve. In other words, Solomon wants to say to us, this was my sin. I sought to be as wise as God, and I fell into the perverse woman's trap. Do not do what I did. That's what he's saying. The challenge he faced, and the challenge we face, is to be those who please God and so escape temptation's clutches. So here Solomon confesses his sins in the hope of teaching his children and us how to escape the seduction of the perverse woman, how to escape the seduction of sin. And I want you to notice three things with me in the text. First, notice how Solomon fell into the trap in the first place. He made wisdom his goal. Notice, not to glorify and please God, but he did it for his own pleasure. And again, I remind you that God did promise to give him wisdom, that he'd make him wiser than anyone had ever been before. But he wanted, he told us in earlier chapters, to understand why life was so vain, so frustrating, to see the world as God did. But in all his research, he never attained comprehensive wisdom. In other words, he found he never could be as God. Look at verses 23 and 24. I tested all this. He's talking about all the discoveries he made from the first chapter on. I said, I'll be wise, but it was far from me. What has been is remote and exceedingly mysterious. Who can discover it? I can't get comprehensive wisdom. Nobody can. But in all his research, he never attained being as wise as God. He worked hard at it. He sought to understand fully the evil, the folly, and the folly of madness, and he failed. Instead, what he discovered is that both find their source, folly and madness, in the perverse woman. And he discovered it the hard way, verse 25. I directed my mind to investigate and to seek wisdom and an explanation, to know the evil of folly and the foolishness of madness. In verse 26, I discovered more bitter than death. I discovered the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. Now that description of the perverse woman in our text and Proverbs 7 is an accurate description of Eve. The devil came to Eve and said to her, why don't you eat of the tree? When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was delight to his eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband, and he ate. He's describing the fall. He's describing the fall here. And God warned Adam, just as Solomon later did his children in the book of Proverbs, you see. But he fell anyway, and Solomon's children also fell. And that's why, in part, the kingdom fell apart and divided, and both kingdoms that were left fell. Eve seduced Adam into eating the forbidden fruit, and Solomon was seduced also, and when Adam fell, you and I fell with him. And that's why the world is a frustrating fallen place. That explains everything. So that's the first thing. I want you to notice how Solomon fell into the trap in the first place with his eyes wide open and yet not seeing. Secondly, I want you to notice how Solomon warns us of the danger of sin. Look at verse 26 again, the first part. I discovered more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. The perverse woman has a way of escape. He mentions that in the second part of verse 26. But first he shows us the perverse woman is more bitter to experience than death. Her heart is a snare and her hands are chains. In effect, Solomon is telling you and me, don't go near temptation. Don't go near it. You will fall into sin and end life in bitterness. But there is a way of escape, and he gives it to us in the second part of verse 26. One who is pleasing to God will escape from her. Now you want to know who's the one who's pleasing to God. How can I be the one who can be pleasing to God and escape her? But look carefully at that way of escape because it is fraught with peril. The third part of verse 26. One who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured by her. Only two ways this can end. Well, you escape her, or B, you don't escape her, and it's all over for you. That's the way life works. In short, then, you cannot escape the woman who is a snare. And the reason is that the original perverse woman seduced Adam because you're a child of Eve. You can't escape either. You're trapped. It's all over for you. You're caught in sin. It's all over for you. And this is why life in this world, this fallen world, is hard and full of evil. Adam fell, and as Paul tells us in Romans 7, when you want to do good, evil's always there, egging you on to go and do evil. And Solomon then is telling us, I fell like Adam, and you will too. Solomon's description of what he learned the hard way is universally true and truly appalling and leaves us helpless on our own. Look at verses 27 to 29. Behold, I've discovered this, says the preacher, adding one thing to another to find explanation, which I'm still seeking but have not found. I didn't get the answers I thought I'd find, even though I had wisdom and looked for wisdom. I found one man among 1,000 who's found answers, but I've now found a woman among all these. Behold, I have found only this, the God made man upright. But they have sought out many devices. That means they've sought out other ways of living, and it's ended badly. None of us will ever on our own be able to escape the perverse woman and our own perversity unless we are pleasing to God. And that actually provides us with our way of escape. Because in the third place, Solomon offers us hope. One who is pleasing to God will escape the damage done by Eve. The only man who ever pleased God was Jesus Christ. The Son of God became man and lived a life that was perfectly pleasing to God. He faced temptation and refused to surrender to it. He refused to fall. He took the punishment sinners deserve and died to pay the price for their sin and gain their pardon. And when he rose again the third day, he took with him, catch this, he took with him those whose faith would be in him alone and give them victory over sin and death. Now we're talking about union with Christ by faith. Thus, if you and I are in Christ and we bear his righteousness by faith alone, guess what? We please God. We please God, and we have our way escape from the perverse woman. If you've repented of your sin, believe in Jesus for the pardon of your sins, You're pleasing in God's sight. Put another way, but you by faith in Christ to become a man or woman, a boy or a girl who is pleasing to God in Christ. Thus, you also have the power through Christ to resist the perverse woman, resist sin, resist your own flesh, to resist the devil, and overcome sin. In Christ, what's impossible for you is possible for God to do through Christ. That's your way of escape from the sin that plagues you. We've all got our pet sins. We keep them in the garage, the doghouse, and we feed them and care for them. We pet them on the sly. And then we wonder why we can't let go of them. But the way to escape them, you see, is to forget their pet sins and please be pleased to God in Christ and cast out the dog. As you enter this coming year, know that in Christ you have the power to continue in a life of repentance from sin. You can repent in Christ. Now, it does not mean you will not find life frustrating. It does not mean that you will never sin again. But it does mean that when you do fall, you will not lose the righteousness of Christ given you when you believed in Jesus. In this life right now, you are an upright man or woman in God's eyes. And when you are called into God's presence or when Jesus returns, you will find that God is well pleased with you for Christ's sake. And he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Why? Because you got it right? No, because Jesus got it right and you were given his righteousness, his record. Or if you're not a believer now, I tell you, do not remain in your sin. Come to Jesus Christ and find in him the way of escape from sin and God's condemnation. And I use this word deliberately in light of the day of the week that's coming. Resolve. Resolve right now to give no rest to yourself until you're safely resting in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that in Christ we do find rest. Help us then to rest in him and nowhere else.